This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here they are.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. puts them in the lead with a two-run shot.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, ESPN MLB announcer Boog Sciambi. Actor Keegan-Michael Key. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Boog Sciambi has successfully navigated the traffic to get here as he is calling the World Series on ESPN Radio, which we're on right now, presented by Progressive Insurance. So he's going to join us in about 10, 15 minutes time, but he is in the building. He just told me something that blew my mind.
Uh-oh.
But I will not fill you guys in on it just yet because I would like your unvarnished reaction.
Thank you.
Also, Chris, he's probably in that taller than you thought he was category.
But I'm excited. Cool dad points here. The voice of MLB The Show is in my green room right now.
Well, as soon as he walked in, and you guys were talking. We could hear his booming voice out here.
It's so great. We're all fans. Sure. And all three of my children who play MLB The Show are all fans, and it's pretty cool. Xander may be the only guy who's excited to meet one day both Taylor Swift and Boog Sciambi. You know, so.
Well, he is versatility.
He is.
You know what I'm saying? Versatile.
Maybe if okay. We'll look forward to having him out here. My power rankings in just a moment. But Lamar Jackson is back, everybody. He's certainly back at a podium.
Okay, because, you know, there was an issue last week about that.
Huh?
About him being back.
He's not. he's back at a podium. Talking about his hamstring, is that what we've got up first right here? Okay, hit it.
My hamstrings can be tricky. This is my first time having it, and I thought I was able to move sometimes, and, you know, it'll still feel like a little tugging part or early on when I was rehabbing and stuff like that. So, yeah, I didn't want to end my season or end my career on a hamstring injury, though.
Okay. And his career. That was very dramatic.
Okay. That went to an extreme there.
I don't know. I mean, hey, you don't know how bad it could have been.
Okay.
All right.
Remember Ricky Williams used to do interviews in his helmet?
Yeah.
Lamar's showing up in his balaclava, right?
Yeah.
Is it that cold right now in Baltimore? Is it? I don't know. We're out here in Southern California. It's like a 90-degree heat wave right now.
Ricky had like a public speaking shyness issue. Understood. That's why he kept the helmet.
I mean, Lamar, he's back, man. It's great. And I guess the big story when the Ravens were playing like Cam Ward's Titans.
like a donkey?
And,
Eeyore.
You know, you drill down on all the details, right? And the media makes things, mountains, molehills, and whatever. We will do that on occasion. The news, and that John Harbaugh has downplayed, said that this meant nothing, folks, is that all the fun and game stuff in their locker room was removed, like ping pong tables removed.
I got one if they need a replacement.
Hey-o. Sir, we're just asking you for yours for years.
We want it here.
Listen, it's certainly if you got it as a parting gift from The Price is Right.
Which I did.
After your double over. Listen.
Hey, I got there, Joe.
That's true. You should refer to me as Joe?
Yeah, I call a lot of people
The Joe Eisen Show, everybody. That's a new one. But apparently it was Lamar who said, get that stuff out of here.
Uh-huh.
And Lamar spoke about that as well.
I appreciate Mr. Steve for putting that in there for us, you know, but yeah, we had to focus. I wouldn't say people don't take the job serious, don't get me wrong, but like, I didn't feel like it was the time for that. You know, we got a lot of work to do.
What's it going to take to get back in?
Keep winning. Because we're not going to have them the rest of the year, so keep winning.
I like it. Wow. I think it's Mr. Steve Bisciotti. Is that who he's referring to?
Yeah, okay. I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Was he the one who
personally put the credit card down for the ping pong table? I don't know about that. But
who else would?
At some point, might have been a proxy. But how about that? I love this. Don't forget, remember everything was going sideways with Lamar? It's like, is he a pro? Is he showing up on time? Is he eating what's right? He eating? Is he working out? And now he's just like strolling through saying, what's with the ping pong stuff? Yeah. We've lost a few games in a row. What's going on here?
Lamar took the NFL no fun league to the extreme. You don't want them having no fun in
there. You know how they're going to have fun?
Winning?
Yeah. And making me look like I know what I'm talking about.
In what way, Rich?
I told you when they were 1-5, don't give up on them.
Well, you did say that.
That's what I told you. I'm like, there's a path. There's a path to get those ping pong tables back. Same. Whatever else that's in there.
Same that could be said for us here.
Hey, you know what? If we ever have a bad show, that pool table's gone. You understand?
It's really heavy. It'd be tough to get out of here.
We have a few bad shows in a row. I mean, it'd be tough to take all the fun stuff out of here since this entire thing is fun.
Oh, we got
it. It's like a fun house without the air holding us up for us to bounce around.
Going on,
yeah, the putting surface is gone.
Oh, no.
You guys putting before the show is out.
Come on, man.
You know?
I got to work on my short game.
You playing pool?
Can I keep my kendo stick?
Come on.
Your kendo stick? Sure.
Okay.
But if we have a full week of bad shows, that thing is gone.
Oh, no.
Kendo stick. Whatever works, guys. Whatever. I just love the leadership from Lamar. I love it. He's just strolling through the locker room, shaking his head at the young'uns. He's the OG strolling around, shaking his head at the ping pong and all that other stuff.
He's like gone.
Everybody thought it was John Harbaugh coming in and saying, I'm lowering the boom, everybody.
Well, it has to be Lamar, right?
He said it.
Yeah, it has to be him.
I don't know. Before everyone's just like wondering if he's, you know, going to be the leader and the lead dog. Is he going to be the first in and the last out? Look at him now, man. And this is after he got the bag. Yeah. When Normally I said it's the other way around.
When I said it has to be him, I meant like it had to come from him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Don't lose to Miami.
Here he goes.
That, by the way, is 100% right, though.
True that.
Because you look at their schedule, it's all set up. The two against Cincinnati, the two against Pittsburgh are still on the docket. Their last one against Cleveland. They've got Miami on a short week. Miami just played their best game of the year. Best game of the year. At Minnesota, make life miserable for J.J. McCarthy. Jets. Man, a New England game. That one's sticking out big time. Old school, Baltimore, New England. Vrabel in the mix. At Green Bay, that's a big one. At Pittsburgh, you win the division games, it's over. Same thing like I said about, I said, win your division games, it's over for the Steelers because they're 4-3. Win your division games and the other ones that you're supposed to win for the Ravens, and then it's over. They're focused. I swear, you know, one bad segment. And I got to take something away.
I mean, we can't have it.
Oh, it's out.
That's a shame.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
But the one thing that's absolutely staying, Mike, is in front of you, that brick phone.
Yeah.
From Wall Street, signed by both Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen now.
That is so dope.
That's the last thing to go. That might be the black box indestructible item that's in this studio right now.
I asked Mike
no matter
to
how
leave
bad
that.
The shows are, we're gonna that thing stays.
I asked Mike
that
to leave
right
that,
in front of you.
To me in as well.
I want the Felly Del Tufo bobbleheads aren't going either.
Look at that thing.
They're not going. The bobbleheads ain't going.
What did Charlie Sheen at Money Does Sleep,
Money
right?
Does
I
does
love
sleep.
It. Fantastic. 844-204 Rich number to dial before we bring out Boog Shambi of ESPN Radio calling the World Series here in Los Angeles. It's a Wednesday.
You know what that means.
It's a Wednesday, and these are the most powerful rankings you can possibly imagine.
Let's get the pen out.
It's my power rankings presented by Sonos.
This is my
power rankings. All right, I got to tell you, there's a lot of teams that were on my power rankings already from last week or on byes, and a lot of other teams won. So there's going to be a couple that won and dropped, which doesn't normally make sense.
Sounds like excuses, Rich.
No, it's not excuses. It's just giving you a heads up. You know what? I'm front loading your complaints with my response.
That takes already. The fun out of it.
I don't think it takes any fun away at all. But you know what? Let's just put it this way. I'm giving you a +1 seat to root against me right now.
See? So it's not that hard, is it?
Yeah, it is. Number 10 on the list are the Bucks down one spot. One spot. I'm a little concerned. A little concerned about the injuries mounting, and the Saints are. But it's a division game. Those can get ugly. The waters can get muddy. And defensive victories usually don't play as well in power rankings as offensive-led attacks, like, say, the Bucks a couple weeks ago in Seattle, where, you know, Baker basically won a Big 12 Pac-10 battle against Sam Darnold. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they're down one spot, but they're still on my list. And then up one spot, because they just boat raced the Carolina Panthers, the Bills, once upon a time at 10. They're now at 9 on my power rankings list. And I can't pop them over the Patriots. So I'm keeping the Patriots.
Oh.
Stays like a buffalo.
At 8. At 8. Because I think if the Patriots played the Rams, I think the Rams win the game.
Oh, you're wrong about
that. So does that mean
all right.
that number 7 is?
The Rams. Ah. They're down one spot. On a bye.
I take Brock in that game.
They're down one spot.
Thanks,
and the only reason why I didn't keep them right before is because I downgraded the Eagles one spot as well.
That's a shame.
Down to 6.
Okay.
And the Eagles beat the Rams. So I'm kind of trying to be as consistent in that respect as well. I do love the fact that the Eagles have started. I mean, they found Saquon. I guess it all took was one other game against the Giants. And put Jalen Hurts under center. If the guy's comfortable, just take the shotgun stuff. I'm not throw it out, but put him under center. And let's just see what's going on here. Up two spots, cracking my top 5.
What's cracking?
Are the Denver Broncos. They are playing lights out. You just heard Kurt Warner say Bo Nix had the best game on tape along with Jordan Love of the week. And they finally started fast. I am concerned that Patrick Surtain is going to be out for a couple weeks. It's Jahdae Barron now having to step up with Riley Moss, a much maligned Denver Bronco. He's got to fill in the slack. They're in Houston, which had its best game of the year, I think, against the Niners last week. So we'll see if the Texans and the Broncos can be as entertaining as I think they will be. But Denver is now top 5. And then a lot of Godfather Part 2 drops, man. I kept the Chiefs right where they are at 4. I kept the Packers right where they are at 3. I kept the Colts right where they are at 2, despite the Chiefs, Packers, and Colts coming up with highly impressive wins. Say what you will about the Tennessee Titans, but the Colts usually, in a division game, you throw records out, and what they did was throw the Titans out of the building. And Jonathan Taylor is just lighting it up, but I still believe at the end of the day, the team that is the best in the NFL, roster-wise, coaching-wise, quarterback, running back, receiver, defense-wise, I still can't quit the Lions right now. Mm. Even though they were on a bye, and I downgraded some other teams on a bye this past week, like the Rams, I still think the Lions are the best team in football. I still think they are going to win the NFC. I know the Packers are in front of them. I know the Packers have already beaten them. And I already said earlier in these power rankings, this team, I can't put them above this one because they lost to that one. I'm just there. I just can't be pushed off it. I kind of dig the Lions and what they did before their bye. They're going to come back healthier. Brian Branch is back from his suspension. They're going to take on the Minnesota Vikings this week. And now that Aiden Hutchinson is paid, like, hey, Aiden, first up, go hunt your other Wolverine and J.J. McCarthy, who's coming back from an ankle injury, and test that one out right away. The Lions lead my power rankings entering week number 9. My power rankings are brought to you by Sonos. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos products look as good as they sound, and I should know because I use Sonos. Gents, comments, questions? You are my plus ones sitting with me right now, even though you're rooting against me.
These are probably the 10 best teams. I might have had Indy 1, Green Bay 2.
Just because they did play last week and we saw them recently?
Yeah, I don't want to penalize for a bye, but the week 1 win, and I like what Green Bay is doing right now.
So do I. And Christian Watson coming back only adds to that mix. Emmanuel Wilson might maybe spelling Josh Jacobs a little bit more. He's He looked pretty darn good, right?
Yeah. Christian Watson, like you just said, being back, I think that's huge for that offense.
I agree with you, and Love just played the game of his life in the situation of his life, you know, which is outside of the playoffs, obviously, in which he's performed, which is that's Rodgers, this is me, that's Green Bay, that's
feels like Rodgers, these are the 10 best teams.
Lit it up.
Feels like these are the 10 best.
All right. I appreciate that. I'll take it.
Maybe I think the Lions thing is a little, you gave the reasons why they might not be one because they lost to the Packers and the Packers. Well, but other than that, I have no issue.
And Seattle was on a bye. The Bucs did win. The Bucs have beaten Seattle. I'm not going to take the Bucs completely off the list because they didn't boat race the Saints.
But I think the Colts should be one, but
injuries
are
mounting.
You think the Colts should be one? I don't blame you, but I don't know. Lions play the Colts right now. I think they could stop. They could win it.
That'd be a great game.
Were you about to say they could stop John Taylor?
I did just say that. I said that they could basically say, all right, I mean, how about that? Contain him.
So he has.
You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. Maybe. I don't know. I'd love to see that.
That'd be an interesting Super Bowl.
I think it would too, sir.
Would it captivate the masses, though?
Probably not. But everybody
says
football heads.
Guys, Arizona versus Pittsburgh, I ran into an NBC executive of note, whose name I won't say publicly, who was lamenting.
Narlich?
Well, I mean, no, he was lamenting because Arizona, as you know, it could have been Philadelphia versus Pittsburgh, right? And it could have been anybody but Arizona. Yeah. And that turned out to be one of the highest rated Super Bowls that was as exhilarating as possible with a play awesome. That we see over and over and over again. Many of them, from James Harrison to Antonio Holmes to all of it. So you never know. You can't just sit here and say it would be no interest because it's Indianapolis. I disagree. By the way, also right now, it could have been Los Angeles versus Philadelphia, Los Angeles versus Boston or the Yankees or anything like that. Instead, it's the Blue Jays. And I think this is an outstanding World Series. Excellent baseball.
It truly is.
Speaking of which, Boot Shambi's calling it for ESPN Radio. Let's bring him out here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance and Disney Plus and the ESPN app everywhere.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. You were doing it in my household with my kids. Boot Shambi, the voice of the World Series on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, is here in studio. What an epic Game 3 that was. I know Game 4 is more recent, and obviously it tied the series up, but I would be remiss if I did not ask you where that ranks in terms of the games that you have called anywhere for anything.
So you know what's funny is that Shulman was the voice of the World Series on the radio. Dan Shulman, who's now the voice of the Blue Jays.
And isn't he calling it on CBC now?
Yeah. Okay. So they're still doing it. They're the one team that gets to still do their local, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
On television with Buck Martinez. But in 2018, he called the 18-inning game. And then I believe the next night he was still battling some laryngitis. I ended up being flown in from New York to call Game 5 the clincher because he got kind of worn out, at least in part, due to that 18-inning game. But that one the other night was incredible. There was a part of me that was curious to see how far it would go. I had a pretty good idea it was going to end on something going over the wall.
That's right.
But it was surprising to me, a couple of the balls that didn't get out because...
Well, Will Smith, had one, and I thought Freeman had one before Freeman got one.
To go dorky, but, you know, back in the day, people used to talk about Dodger Stadium and that the ball doesn't carry at night. That is not the case anymore. This has played the last 3 years as the top home run hitters park in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. But the marine layer kind of showed up the other night, and we saw some balls. You know, Freddie said, I didn't know if it was going to go. So it was memorable. We were exhausted at the end of the night. It was really cool.
Yeah, and so do you have like a lozenge? What do we do? A little tea with honey?
So to around, me, it's more. I'm already it? As soon as you say that, I'm thinking of Lou Duva coming in and saying, "Don't be a lollipop." My main thing that I tell people is that it is not about my voice. Yes, my voice gets a little tired and I feel it a little bit the next day. It's your brain. It's the concentration. I probably shouldn't out myself on this, but
yes.
The call, if you listen to my call,
yes.
I say Varsho back at the wall at the track.
Mm-hmm.
It goes the track, the wall.
Yes, in terms kids. Of, yes, the
You
the
kids
actual...
out there, it goes the track and the wall. It's the warning track, then the wall. But you're a little tired,
yes.
So you might miss. But look, you know from doing this, from doing play-by-play,
yeah, oh
the one part, though, is just there's the concentration. Is just because it's in here doesn't mean it's going to come out there. And there are times when you know the information, just sometimes this isn't going to cooperate.
Oh,
and
boy.
it's going to happen. You know, if you call Mike Trout, Steve Trout, because I remember the left-handed pitcher when I was growing up, it's not because I don't know that it's Mike Trout. It's just sometimes mechanically it's not going to happen. And if, you know, we followed all of you around for 3 straight hours, you'd say dumb stuff too.
I love it. Yes. Thank you for keeping
Drive safe, everybody.
Bucciambi.
Yeah.
Because I've done that.
Yeah.
And it, nothing like I'll do this show, but I'm fortunate to be able to do it every day in a cadence.
Yep.
So if something doesn't go right out of my pie hole,
mm-hmm.
I'll be able to just bury it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
If I do that with play by play, it sticks with me for a long time.
No doubt.
I really beat myself up significantly because there's a responsibility to meet the moment, be accurate, get it right, and also you know, avoid a moment like this one. I'll you know, share with you. I've shared it here before. So I had a game, Bucks Texans, on NFL Network. Jameis Winston versus Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. First quarter in, I'm thinking, all right, I'm doing pretty well. I'm calling this game, and I look down at my phone, and it's my wife, Susie, calling. And I'm like, uh-oh, because you know, there's got to be an emergency if she's calling me during the game. I pick up the phone, and she says, literally, "What the F is wrong with you?" is what she said. And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she goes, "You don't know?" And I'm like, "No." She goes, "You've been calling Watson Winston and Winston Watson the entire quarter." And I had no earthly idea. And if you would ask me, "What are you doing?"
Right.
I would have sworn I got it right.
Yeah.
It's crazy,
I understand.
Man. You know?
I understand.
So I've been there and
yep.
I've been in that Mike Trout, Steve Trout thing.
Yeah,
but
you
do
go.
It once. I did it for an entire football quarter.
I have empathy. I do. I'm right there with you.
Well, let's talk about this World Series. Bucciambi here on the Rich Eisen show. So now, what do you think it comes down to here? It's just going to be boiled down to a certain sequence, and the ball's got to bounce right, or do you think one team does in fact have an advantage over another right now?
Look, asking me to predict what's going to happen over a three-game span is a fool's errand. That said, all you can do is look at it on paper. And to me, on paper, the fact that the Dodgers have Snell and Yamamoto going in two of the next three gives them the advantage. But if you're telling me that the Blue Jays win the World Series, I'm not anywhere near shocked, right? And so I have to go to the starting pitching advantage that the Blue Jays have. If there's one element of this series that surprised me at least a bit, it would be the Dodgers had a monster offense this year. They scored, and their offense has not gotten clicking, and the Blue Jays have good pitching. I'm surprised that this entire postseason that the Dodger lineup hasn't really rolled. So, mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Ohtani story that you've heard from somebody? Anybody, Dodgers organization, somebody that you've come across around the batting cage?
Gosh, that's a great question. I have Ohtani things that ramble around in my head. So the first thing is they list him at 6'3", 210. If he's 6'3", I'm 210. Like, he's 6'4 and a half, and he's probably 235. The other part that I'm dying to ask him to do, I don't believe he's done it, but it's hard with the translator to get at it. So there's a machine called Traject that almost all these teams have now. And what it is a pitching machine for the hitters. And it will take basically a video of the guy. So he's throwing from the slot that he throws from. So you're taking Blake Snell. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't just show you Blake Snell and have him release from where he releases from. The spin rate on the changeup is the same. The spin rate on the fastball is the same. The shape of the slider is the same. What I want is Ohtani the hitter to face Ohtani the pitcher and say, what do you see? I think that would be amazing.
We thought about that.
And I don't believe he's done it. And then I asked a couple of guys on his team, and they said they didn't think he would.
Why?
Because
he doesn't want to know the answer?
Well, no, because as funny as it sounds, with all this high-tech equipment, he basically does like flips and soft toss. He doesn't hit off of like the high velo machines or anything like that, is what I'm told. So, he's incredible. The one part about it with last night, the night before, he's cramping on the bases. He's on the base nine times, and everybody's sitting there saying, man, I don't know. And yes, I understand. We have expectations. But at a certain point, when we're surprised by what he does, it's on us. Gosh, it really surprised me. He was able to go out and throw six shutout innings and hit three homers. At what point are we? It's kind of our fault that we're like, God, this guy's different. You think? You know what I mean? So I just it's stunning. It's little league type stuff. What he's able to do.
And the little league type stuff is also the fun that he's having as well.
I love the smile.
It's not just that. It's not just the smile too. It's the living in the moment and having fun. There was a moment last night. Again, he gets the leadoff walk, not the intentional, unintentional, whatever you want to call it. And there's a fielder's choice at second. I don't know if it was the shortstop or the second baseman who fielded the throw for the out. Mm-hmm. But Ohtani slides in, and his cleat lands on top of the foot of the fielder. And I don't know if you saw this moment. He took the back of his glove or something, and he wiped off the fielder's top of his foot because he left a dirt smudge or whatever, and then just kind of looked up at him. I don't know if he winked at him or whatever, and ran off the field. I've never seen anything like that. It was like he has those moments where there's with his opponents, or just being able to live and saying, I'm having fun at this.
I could not agree more that it's a rarity that we get to see the competitiveness and the joy at the same time. Right. You know, for the most part, with Michael Jordan, you would see the competitiveness. You wouldn't see the joy until it was over. To see guys have the joy, you know, with the Cubs on television, we have a pitcher named Shota Imanaga, who is the epitome of that. You get to see the joy and how hard he's competing, and I love that so much.
Well, Pete Crow Armstrong is from around here, from Harvard Westlake. Yeah. Everybody around here in Southern California owns feels like they own his success right now, because he's really one of Southern California right now. He probably can eat wherever he wants in Chicago right
now. Yeah, he's 23 years old. He has a self-awareness and a maturity. I told this story. I thought it was really neat. He was he told me that growing up, he would wake his father up, and his dad would either go in the backyard and play baseball with him, or he would sit him in front of the television and make him watch the Kerry Wood 20 strikeout game. He watched it hundreds of times. And he told me that story out here last season. So in 2024, it was right after the Cubs Hall of Fame weekend when Kerry Wood went in. Mm-hmm. And I said, did you get a chance to meet Kerry? And he said, I did. And I said, did you tell him that story? And he said, nah, man, that weekend's about him. It's not about me. I didn't want to make it about me. And for a 23-year-old kid to have that level of awareness, and it plays out constantly, his ability to reflect. I mean, look, he's still working on things and learning and growing, but at 23 years old, as a human, he's interesting, and I really love the kid.
That's amazing, because it really is about Kerry Wood to go up to Kerry and say, hey,
yes,
you know, you're...
But it's still, I love that,
the
telling
humility?
That about, yeah, that he's just, he's special.
So then what does it mean that I'm about to make it about me?
Well, let's go. Okay. Make it about you. No, make it about the Jets. Let's go.
We'll get to that in a second.
All right.
But no, I was in the SportsCenter newsroom when Kerry Wood had that performance.
Oh.
And in terms of the 7 years that I was there, in terms of what lit up the SportsCenter newsroom, top five moments, that's one of them.
Is that right?
Oh, the whole place.
The 20 strikeout.
Everyone stopped.
Oh,
everyone
that's
stopped
cool.
what they were doing. And because it was an afternoon game,
yeah,
and the 6 p.m. SportsCenter crew knew that this was the lead item. So yeah. they stopped and watched it. The 11 o'clock crew, the 2 a.m. crew, we all knew this doesn't matter what's happening after this. This is going to lead SportsCenter. This is it. And it the whole newsroom stopped, lit it up.
That's awesome.
I'll never forget that.
I love that.
Boog Shambi here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right. Now tell me what you told me about, gents, this is pretty cool. Tell me what you told me in the hallway about the Jets and that story about the fan that went viral.
Oh, I hate this team. It went viral.
Yeah, you know
that? I went to Regis High School in New York City, and yes. my buddy Kevin Sullivan, that's his son. You can see him over his shoulder. Winston Sullivan, whoa. Shout out. That's wow. him.
So you went because
that's
again,
good parenting right there, or terrible parenting, however you want to do it.
Terrible. Well, because the whole moment
yeah.
that went viral, we have a drop of.
I hate this team.
That's him.
Okay, and that he said that he was born into it.
Yeah.
So
that's
you
dad.
Went to high school with the man who essentially helped
look,
birth
the
him
free,
into this.
The freeze on the Instagram, you can see Sully over his shoulder. He's got a hoodie on, gray hoodie, bald head. That's him. That's dad. So, I mean, the kid's only, I think he's 12. So,
yeah, I know.
I dealt with Jet fans. I told you the other one, the other
so
terrible
ahead, tell
one.
That story. Go ahead, tell
the
that
other
story,
terrible too. One. So I have a, you know, one of my buddies was such a diehard Jet fan. His grandparents flew him down for that AFC Championship game at the Orange Bowl when A.J. Dewey had three interceptions, yeah, including one for a touchdown against Richard Topp.
You mean when Don Shula knew the Jets' advantage was Freeman McNeil,
that's
and
right.
there was a massive rainstorm in South Florida, yeah. and he refused to have them put the tarp on
the field.
Right, so that mm-hmm. he would slow the Jets
that's
down.
Correct.
You mean that AFC
that's
Championship?
That's the one. It okay. hasn't stuck with you at all.
The one that I watched in the basement of Staten Island, New York,
that's
almost
right.
turning me into what's Sullivan's?
Winston Sullivan,
Winston,
yeah.
I was Winston Sullivan's kid
there
on that
go.
Day. But sorry, go ahead. Finish your story.
So when I was first coming up in Miami and doing talk radio, I would do pregame and postgame Dolphin stuff with A.J. Dewey. And he had 8x10 glossies of him scoring the touchdown. He's holding up the football, scoring at the Orange Bowl in that game. So I thought to myself, like three of my closest friends, I had him sign, hey, thinking of you, go Fins, A.J. Dewey, and then just send it to them on the blind. And then eventually I'm home and it's like, yo, A.J. Dewey got my address. How did that happen? And he just signed it to me. I don't understand. That's a pretty good joke.
That's the next level.
Yeah.
That's so. Ooh, that's next.
I need to do that again, to be honest. So.
Pretty funny.
You should do it every year.
Yeah, I should.
It should be an annual thing right
I'm gonna
now.
I'm going
to
do that to you.
Just keep going. I'll give you my address. I'd be honored to be on the receiving end of something like that. And just do me this one favor, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
I'm bringing my youngest son to the game tonight, but I'm not going to be out on the field. If you are on the field at any point in time, either before game five tonight, we all know you got to get your passport ready for game six.
Yes.
Can you go up to my favorite baseball player of all time and Don Mattingly and tell him how badly I want this for him? Because I don't believe I'll be able to contact him. It's wild that he's sitting in this dugout for the Blue Jays with an opportunity to get a ring like this, and I know he's not playing, I know he's got a glove, but he's part of this thing,
so
clearly.
It's funny that you bring it up. I was born into Phillies fandom. That's
okay.
My parents met at Drexel, and then my dad's side got their hands on me. But I grew up in New York City during the Mattingly years,
yes.
and he was a favorite of mine, even though I was not a Yankee fan.
Right.
I got to interview him before game two. And I was 14 years old again, man. And to sit there and talk to him, John Schneider's the manager of the team. He had a Hitman poster on his wall.
Me too. I had that poster.
I didn't know this. He told me that Donnie Baseball,
yes,
Kirby Puckett gave him that nickname.
Is that right?
And then we talked some more. And Schneider also told me that Lou Cucuzza, who's the visiting clubhouse guy with the Yankees, just sent him a text and said, win it for Donnie. So I asked him about so many Yankee fans that think about the 80s. And remember, when we grew up, it was a Met town. The Mets, those 86 Mets teams, yeah, that was the team. And then there was Don. And I would say there's a ton of people who are Yankee fans that just feel like it would be really cool for Don Mattingly. So to sit with Don Mattingly and talk with him about it the other night, and just, he's a gentle, kind guy. It was a thrill for me.
So is John Schneider from New York?
I believe from New Jersey.
Okay, so he had Mattingly
poster. Yeah,
I had that on my wall growing up in Staten Island.
Yeah.
I had that on my wall in college, yep, at Michigan. I mean, so do me that, just yeah, do me that small
absolutely
favor, because again, I owe you. I mean, honestly, the joy you do give to my kids through MLB the Show, you know, and you're right. Like, you're absolutely, my oldest son is not that much interested in baseball at all, but he knows you, and he definitely knows the game through the video game when he plays it. And same with my daughter, but for sure, congratulations on that.
I appreciate it. Thanks for saying that.
No, and it's the truth. It really is the truth. And I just love, again, you know, the position that you're in. You mentioned, you know, Dan Shulman had it. When I was the initial studio host of the World Series and MLB on ESPN Radio, back when I was a SportsCenter guy, John Miller was the voice.
Talk about
one of the best.
Yeah, so they're
in that spot right now.
Let's make it about me. Please, would say,
I just did. That, don't worry.
No, but I'm saying, in 1979 was the first year that they did a national radio broadcast. Prior to that, I mean, the same thing they used to do with TV. It was they take the local guys. It's been Vin Scully, Jack Buck, John Miller, and Dan Shulman. I kind of feel like I snuck past the bouncers. You know, so.
Well, they're not checking your ID, right?
Yeah, I guess not.
I mean, so, they'll check your credential.
Hopefully, they let me in today and let me do it again.
I look forward to hearing you do it. And obviously, safe travel for game 6. And maybe you do get the amazing fortune of calling the magical game 7 on ESPN Radio.
That would be awesome.
Thanks for coming here, man.
Thank you for having me on the regular. Great to see you.
You bet. Boot Shambi is here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're back with more. And Keegan-Michael Key's on his way to the studio as well.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent, it's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
Hour number 3 coming up shortly. Keegan-Michael Key will appear on the Rich Eisen Show in studio once again. Hey, folks, the Sonos app is a way for you to use your Sonos equipment in a way that just absolutely reimagines the way you take in anything into your ear gate from anything in your house, whether it's a soundbar or a speaker. Your television sound amazing. Feels like you're at the game if you're watching a game, thanks to the studio quality sound of Sonos. I have it all throughout my house. Susie and I love to use it. The kids, it's easy for the kids to use. And its setup is so easy. Just plug it in, open the Sonos app, and you are ready to go. Explore the soundbars, speakers, the headsets. I've got the Sonos headsets. They sound amazing. The Bluetooth hooks up to any device that you're playing anything on. Go to find out about that and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. Jeff in Detroit wants to chime in. What is up, Jeffrey?
What's going on, Uncle? My cousin.
What up, Jeff? What up, bro?
What up?
Hey, listen. Here, let me get you up.
There we go.
Oh, Jeffrey.
You guys were just talking about not too long ago going to games with friends and rooting interests.
Yes.
So we had some tickets. Being Michigan fans, went down to the Horseshoe with a couple of friends of ours in the Buckeye State. We get down there. We're waving the Michigan flags, Michigan plates. We get our handed to us by Ohio State.
Yes.
My friends are rooting so hard against us and laughing. We ended up taking off early because we got shellacked so bad.
Yeah.
So we get on the freeway, heading back to Michigan, still in Ohio.
Yeah.
We get pulled over by the state troopers waving these Michigan white flags. The troopers get out, look at us, and say, you guys have had your asses beat enough today. We're going to let you off with a warning and go back to the car and start laughing. I tell him, it's not going to always be like this. He says, it is today. Gets in the patrol car and just pulls off on us.
Well, so would you, the question is, Jeff, if you had a plus one, right? Let's just say you got a plus one for Thanksgiving. Would you bring a Packer fan with you? Would you bring a Packer fan? Not Thanksgiving is not that much of a stakes. Like an NFC Championship game, Packers Lions in Ford Field. You bringing a Packer fan as your plus one for that day?
You know what? It depends on how close we are. I would. I really would. I bring them into that atmosphere because I want them to feel that. You know.
Okay.
You got to realize Detroit really hasn't had anything to cheer about until like here recently with our Lions. I would definitely bring a Packer fan into that den.
Okay.
Let him see what it's like. Let him and just to root against him. I guess that's just me. Just to root against him in his face, like they said. You know, you want to see your friends hurt.
Well, that's why you and Jeff get along so well. I thought, you know, we get along with him as well. So we'll just have to agree to disagree. And that story about you going down and watching Michigan get their, you know, what's kicked in Ohio State. I appreciate you telling us stories from last decade.
I know, right?
And Jeffrey, by the way, Jeff, I got my pin that I bought in Detroit that says I got people in Detroit. I thought about you. This
I like
morning.
It. Thank
when
you, Jeff.
That on.
Let's Jeff in Detroit, everybody.
You know what I think?
Telling old stories. Old stories about Michigan losing to Ohio State.
Weaving
That's so long
yarns,
ago. I don't even remember those days.
Is that
you?
What they say, Rich? Weaving old yarns?
You know what I think it is about this, the taking the friend to the game?
What?
I think it's about a hated rival. Like, if it was, you know, the Bears and Cowboys aren't rivals. So them playing in the championship game is a kind of a celebration for both teams.
Okay.
We, the Red Sox Yankees, are hated rivals. So I don't want anything to do with people like you. You know, so.
But even if it's, but it's not like the Blue Jays and the Dodgers are hated rivals. It's the stakes. It doesn't matter if it's a hated rival. Like, I want, if I'm a Dodger fan, I want this so damn bad. I don't care about last year. To use the phrase of Gordon Gekko, greed, for the lack of a better word, is good. You know, like, that's it. I'm sorry. I don't need the Blue Jay fan sitting here going, yay, Vladdy Jr. When I want to win. Like, this is it. This is the World Series. This isn't like the second of three and a 9-game homestand in May.
Patriots played the Falcons in the Super Bowl, obviously, famously. And, you know, I talked to Sarah at halftime and I was happy for her. I wasn't more pissed at the Patriots at law. You know what I mean?
She was your, at the time, girlfriend, and now she's the mother of your child. It's a different story. Of course I'd take Susie to a game like that.
Okay, because I was literally about to ask. We got a tweet, and the question was asked, would Rich not take Susie to a Yankees-Red Sox ALCS if they ever got back
there? Of course I would. That's absurd. I mean,
Susie's my team.
No, we're talking about friends. We're not talking about spouses.
Well, she's not your friend?
Oh, my God.
What is wrong with you?
You guys are friends, though, right?
Single guy.
No.
You are friends.
We're talking about, I would have taken her as a platonic friend because I wanted to be more than friends.
I get it.
You understand what I'm saying?
But that didn't, yeah. All
right. You know what I mean? Like, Ashton said he took Mila to the game. Is she a Blue Jay fan?
No, she's a Dodgers fan.
Okay, fine. But even if she was a Blue Jay fan, I wouldn't bat an eye. Okay, you're going to the game with your wife. That's fine. But you? You, Lieutenant Weinberg?
Who is Coop?
You can't handle the
who
truth.
Who is Coop rooting for tonight?
Great question. I don't know. It depends. His friend Ryan, he loves him, but he just loves to hate on watching him play. You know, I mean, watching his teams play.
Yeah.
So Coop's I think he kind of wants his friend to be a little bit miserable.
Yeah. Susie just texts me that this is an insane conversation.
I'm glad she's giving this a listen or a watch.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.